Welcome to the Parental Guidance Podcast between episodes.
Must be Monday.
It is. It's Monday.
It is Monday.
Yeah, today actually is Monday. It's a delightful Monday. There is blue skies outside.
Yeah, well, don't hold your breath. It won't stay long. You're in the Pacific Northwest, my friend.
Yes, there's a 90% chance of rain just because they didn't want to put 100% chance for some reason.
Right.
We know where we are. There's a 100% chance of rain tonight.
This is true. So we're recording the day after some rather shocking news in the sports world. And I mean, it was one of those deals when I hopped on Twitter and I saw the first post and I was like, nah, I was like, what is this? Is this some kind of spoof thing? And then all of a sudden you realize, no, Kobe Bryant and his daughter and seven other people went down in a helicopter. And I mean, it just like, that was the talk of all the social media.
Yeah, sure. I saw it pop up on TV as breaking news, and it was just kind of those things that, I mean, my wife Katie, she doesn't even watch basketball, and she just went, what? Like, she just couldn't understand it. And it's always crazy. It's always crazy when we see, you know, celebrity deaths or people that impacted us in some sort of way die. And I heard, I've heard Rob Bell talk about it, and how he talks about how when we go to funerals, we go to, you know, wakes and everything like that, it's almost like everyone, at least in our culture, has to be so contained. You know, you're so contained, you have a tissue and you're just like trying to hold tears back and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas you go to other countries and people are like wailing and just crying and screaming, right? Then it's just, and it talks about that in the Bible too. And then you have things like these where you have these celebrity deaths where it's someone that you never actually knew personally, but when they die, they had some sort of impact on you, and it combines with all of the like pent up grief that you never actually showed. So it's like we can all as a collective grieve. And I thought that was a very interesting idea because so many of us do just kind of hold stuff in, move on and keep going. And then this one, it's one where everyone is allowed to say like, oh my gosh, like everyone is up in arms, you know?
Yeah. Well, and our culture is very big on, you know, especially for men, you gotta, you know, real men don't cry. Yeah, yeah, you gotta push it down, push it into a tight little ball in your gut. You know, that kind of mentality. And it's getting better, but it's still there. It's still very much ingrained in Western society.
That
masculinity, well, and just kind of, you know, being somewhat reserved in terms of, you know, how much you express your emotions. And you know, like you said, other cultures, I mean, there's such a thing as professional wailers, people that will be basically hired and brought in to kind of walk through the funeral procession wailing and just kind of, and it just seems bizarre to think about, but
it opens it up
for
people.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, when I didn't really follow basketball. By the time Kobe came out, I had already moved on to hockey. So my generation was the era of Jordan,
and mine was Kobe.
Exactly.
I grew up every single kid from, you know, elementary school on, we were all shouting Kobe anytime you threw up a shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I still, oh my gosh, like just yesterday, I went to just throw something in the trash can, and like in my mind I was saying Kobe, and then I was like, "Oh shoot." And it just hit me. Like, it's something I still do. I grew up doing everyone. Like, Kobe was our Jordan. It was my generation's Jordan. And it's easy for people to, like, get mad at millionaires or get mad at athletes or get mad at whoever. But the amount of impact, like, Kobe Bryant had on his community, on the youth, and still to this day, from like when he was playing to now, like it's just gigantic. And I heard Barack Obama say that it was sad to see that he was just coming into his own. He was just coming into his peak, and he was just going to continue to do so much. And it's sad to see a life cut short of all that it could be.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you know, then I go to as the dad. I'm like, you know, goes down with his daughter, and then you've got the thing that I always think of in these situations is, yeah, it's sad, you know, we lost him, but then I think of the people left behind, you know.
I know.
And then you have his widowed
wife. Yeah.
Wife now, and three of the four kids left. And it's just like, I don't know. I mean, it's just one of those moments where you're just kind of shocked and like, oh my gosh, this is, it just reminds you.
How fleeting everything is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was a pretty common sentiment that you saw going around too, is just how fleeting and how quickly things can change and how you need to focus on what's important instead of getting caught up in all the little stuff and all the petty grievances and all that kind of goop and gunk that's out there. Because it's easy to focus on the negative, but it takes a bit more energy and effort to make yourself focus on the positives at times and focus on the things that you have instead of the things you don't have. And our culture is so bad at that. We're that, I want, give me more, more, more.
Yeah.
And we're always looking at what we can have because we think that's what's going to make us happy and that's what's going to fulfill us, instead of focusing on the things we do have and the things that we are blessed with and being thankful for those and appreciating those and enjoying those. And moments like that, I think, isn't the other thing it has the ability to do is it refocus people and say, what's really important? You know, I mean, you see how upset people get over sports, right?
Oh, yeah, loses. Completely.
You know, it's so, when you really look at it, it's so irrational how upset we can get if our team loses a game or something. And then something like this happens and it helps to kind of sort of reorient everything and remind you sports is a game. That annoying employee at work, it's not the end all be all of your life. You know, there are things in life that are worth focusing on and putting your energy into. And moments like yesterday just kind of, I think, shock to the system, so to speak. It just kind of helps reorient.
Yeah, I like to think of death as a tuning fork. Like death, you know, someone you love or someone you like, you're not expecting to die, like Kobe Bryant or something like that, or someone like that, or his, you know, his daughter and everything. You're like, well, she was only 13, you know, and then they leave behind so much. And so when that happens, you just have this tune, you know, this tuning fork, and it hits loud and all of a sudden it brings you back into focus. You're like, wow, I'm way off.
Yeah.
Like I'm way off pitch. Why am I going up here? Or why am I staying down here? You know, I need to be trying for this middle zone where I need to be at. And I mean, that happened for me when my dad died. Like it was just an insane, like, you know, tuning fork about me for my personal health. And I was like, oh gosh, I just need to change, like, not everything, but I felt like I needed to change everything. You know, I was like, I need to get focused. I need to figure this out. And slowly I did. And it's moments like these with like Kobe where you're like, okay, well, Kobe had the money. Like he had all the money he needed. He had all the love from people. He had four daughters, right? A wife. He had countless communities that adored him, whether it was the NBA community, whether it was just the sports community, whether it was local communities, his daughter's basketball team, all of that stuff. And still, you know, he can die just like any of us can, you know, in a moment. And you hope that whenever you die, whether it's today, in 10 years, in 50 years, in 80 years, that you leave behind a positive impact and you leave behind people that are weeping because of how much you leave behind, how big of an impact you are. And you hope that when you die, not only do you have all those people that loved you, as sad as this is, that your death can also help them continue their path and continue to make them better people. Yep. And it's tough, but you just hope that when it happens, you're not just going for the wrong things, that you have your life on straight and you can just look back. But I mean, wherever you think the afterlife is, that you can look back and just be like, okay, that was good. I was ready. I didn't know I was, but it was a good thing, mm-hmm. you know?
The other thing that was pretty common throughout, at least, you know, on Twitter and stuff that people were talking about and sort of moving past the Kobe into the other area of this whole thing is apparently TMZ had reported it before the police had even had a chance to contact the family. And then ABC had reported that he went down with like all his kids. And I'm looking at this stuff. I'm like, you know, it's one thing in the sports world if, you know, the sports reporters are always rushing to break the news. Everybody wants to break the news, right? Oh, I was first with this. It's like, okay, it's one thing if it's sports. Because again, it's just sports. It's just entertainment. It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
Situation like this kind of should hopefully remind journalism in general. It's not so important who got it first, but that you get the facts freaking right.
Yeah.
Because, and you also make sure that you're not breaking it and throwing it out there for the world to see before family members have been given the opportunity to learn this news, not on TMZ. I'm just like, oh my gosh. When I saw that, I was like, ooh, not good. Not
yeah,
cool at all.
The media is a wonderful, horrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
Very double-edged sword.
Because it alerts us when there's great atrocities that, you know, can't be covered up. You know, the media mm-hmm. doesn't. But also, with stuff like this, where you're like, wait a minute. Just chill out a second. Like, mm-hmm. it's okay. Like, this is a tragic loss, you know? Like, give the family a little bit of just a heads up or something. You know, contact with the police or something. Tell them to call now because you're about to publish it. I don't know. Whatever it is, you know?
Yeah. Or just have some decency and wait. There comes a point where you have to say, okay, what's the human factor on this? And, you know, and I mean, you look at the way media is portrayed and looked at anymore. I mean, it's not a positive. It's generally, especially if you talk politics, you know, whichever side of the aisle you're on, you're pointing fingers at some media outlet as far as yeah. being a propaganda machine. And to a fair degree, both sides have some actual truth in that statement that they have. It has become a large propaganda machine to a certain degree, which is not really a positive. Again,
it's just but, what makes money.
Yeah.
You know, what makes money? Stuff makes money when you get out the news first. When you're first, you make money. Yeah. And if you know your audience, it doesn't matter if it's an echo chamber and they can just continue to perpetuate it.
I don't get the first thing because I honestly have never once in my life, in over 40 years of consuming media, consuming news, I've never once in my life said, I'm going to follow this news outlet because they broke a story first.
I understand that, but if, like, let's say, because there was, like, the, there were videos yesterday on, like, Twitter that kept on being reposted, right?
Yeah.
So it continued to be retweeted to thousands and thousands and thousands.
Yeah.
So it's just whoever got that one first. So whatever media outlet got that first, boom, that continues to gain and gain and gain.
Yeah.
Then people start to follow those accounts because they are the quickest, because you're like, oh, I want my news like right now. And that's just how kind of, you know, people work. People want
yeah.
instant gratification. People want to know stuff now.
And it's a problem.
Yeah.
It is a problem. We have lost the ability to wait. We have lost the ability to be patient. And I think it's definitely not a good thing. It's not a positive. I mean, you and I both work in service industry, see it all the time. People complaining because they have to wait 10 minutes for something. It's like, are you kidding me? 10 minutes? All you have to do is sit there and play on your phone for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You're going to whine because you have to wait 10 minutes? I mean, it's getting ridiculous in a way. And, you know, I'm trying to teach a kid in this culture how to have patience and how to, you know, to delay gratification to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, without a doubt, a problem.
Very difficult, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you see it in classrooms, doing substitute teaching all over the place. You're seeing all these different classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing kids all over the place. You see it everywhere. You know, we have lost the ability to wait in a way that is just sort of, I don't know what I would call it, to wait in a normal way, you know, to understand that the world doesn't revolve around us, and that we share this world with 7.5 billion other people.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're going to have to wait for something. Okay. But I'm an American. Americans don't wait. Well, you know what? Americans should wait, because we need to learn that ability to
just take a beat.
Take a beat. Take a breath.
Yeah.
It's okay that you're waiting. If you're always in a rush, then you need to learn some time management skills too.
Plus, I mean, honestly, being able to delay gratification is one of the single most important skills that you can ever learn.
Yeah.
You know, they did studies of, you know, just, you know, did you ever see the study with the marshmallows and kids, where they would give these like kindergartners or whatever, they say, hey, you can eat this marshmallow now, or if you don't eat it by the time I come back, you'll get 2 marshmallows.
Yeah.
And then they track those kids through high school and their grades. And
I didn't see that part of it.
Yeah, and the kids that delayed gratification for 2 marshmallows, well, guess what? They were the ones with better grades. Because they're able to delay gratification, because they're able to wait out something. Yeah. So if you can teach yourself that, if you can gradually teach yourself that, yeah, you're going to be able to save more money, because you're actually going to be able to stick with your budget. You're going to be like, oh, okay, I'm not going to swing in this place because it's convenient. I'll go home and I'm going to cook up some like rice because that's cheap, some beans. I'm going to actually make something from home instead of just swinging by and grabbing a meal for $8 or pad thai for 15 or a pizza or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Or you're like, or if you want to lose weight or you want to be fit, you know, that's the same thing. You're delaying, you know, what you want to eat, or you're delaying watching like TV or looking at your phone on Instagram right now, or you've seen messages that pop up. Maybe you're a writer. You know, you can get into a writing rhythm is so tough now with your phone around. Because you constantly are looking over. You're constantly just brought away. So your attention is constantly being pulled, to the point where a lot of times when I go to write now, I leave my phone in the other room, or I hide it so I can't see it so that I can actually focus.
Yeah.
And it's stuff like that that you have to actually teach your kids now. It sounds weird that you're going to be like, hey, so when you want to focus on something, it's probably best to put your phone in the other room. They're going to be like, what? That doesn't make sense.
It's like, actually, it makes perfect sense. Let me explain why it makes perfect sense. Yeah, it's a problem. You know, everything is so go, 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 go all the time. And we don't know how to wait. We don't know. Everything's about what needs to get done, what needs to get done. I got to do this, do that, do this, do that. You know, I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and life expectancy in our country has gone down in 3 consecutive years. It's the first time ever for a developed nation that life expectancy has gone down 3 consecutive years. Anxiety is up. Suicide and drug overdoses surpassed car accidents for the first time ever as far as causes of death in our country. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, these are all, that's not happening because we don't know how to wait, but it's part of a big...
Well, it's part of ignoring, you know what I mean? Like, just texting while driving is completely not being able to wait. That is 100% not being able to wait, you know?
This is true.
Because you're addicted to like actually looking at your phone. You're addicted to seeing a message pop up. Your brain actually sends out the chemicals, like
dopamine.
You actually get dopamine when you get a message that pops up on your phone, when there's a notification. You get dopamine.
Yep.
We are addicted to our phones so that we can't actually put them away to delay gratification. All of us should have our phones on drive mode, or we should chuck them into the glove box or in the back seat. That's what we should do. They should just be on silent while we drive. But because they aren't, you have people all the time who get in accidents because of that. I'm pretty sure the person that hit me back in July, I'm pretty sure he was probably texting. When I asked him, like, if he... why he didn't see me, he was like, I don't know. You know, on a country back road where there's not that many people.
I had
a
sudden black spot in my vision.
Yeah.
It was in the shape of a rectangle.
Yeah. So you've got texting while driving. Mm-hmm. Like you said, we've got drug overdoses right now that need to be addressed. We also have, you know, obesity and obesity and
suicide rapidly rising.
All of this stuff is rapidly rising. Like you said, three consecutive years. We should have the best health system. We put so much money into we put so much money into medicine, and yet all of these things are still happening, which means that it must not all be medicine and surgery and procedures. Yes, all that stuff can be incredible and can help us so much, but we also have to take our own control, mm-hmm. and we also have to do stuff. We also have to, you know, be like, okay, yes, I understand that surgeries can help me. I understand that medicine can help me. I understand that I'm genetically predisposed towards some things. But most of it, unless you're truly unlucky, you know, like, unless you're someone who, you know, like, is battling cancer at age, like, 28 right now, which I know someone, I have a friend, you know, unless it's, like, something like that where it's just completely unlucky, most of us have control over our lives. And even people like that who are battling cancer or battling some sort of random, awful, horrible disease, there's still things you can do to help yourself too. There's a lot of people who, you know, shoot themselves in the foot, you know, despite everything that they have going on. Like I was talking to my sister-in-law, she's a nurse, and she was telling me, we were just talking about different like crazy, just patient like cases and stuff. And she was telling me about one where someone just who was diabetic and their skin was completely, you know, starting to rot and everything from their foot.
Yeah.
Just decided that they weren't going to amputate. And then it went to the leg, still doesn't want to amputate, kept on going to where it was just like rotting flesh. And it was just there. And it was just going to continue to deteriorate because they just didn't care. They just didn't want to go with it. Didn't want to do the surgery. Didn't want to do it. And that's kind of like what we live in right now with a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Like we know what's going on. We can see it. We can smell it. We can feel it, but we don't want to do anything about it.
Yeah. We had it. This is a serious between.
This
episodes.
Is a very heavy episode.
Well,
so,
it was kind of
a heavy day.
Yeah. Kobe Bryant's death. It's just one of those. And like I said, I didn't even follow the NBA by the time he came out. So it's not like I grew up watching Kobe. I grew up watching Jordan, like I said. Mm-hmm. But I knew who Kobe Bryant was. You'd have to be like under a rock somewhere and never once hear anything about sports ever to not know who Kobe Bryant was. And I think it's just the way it happened so quickly, so suddenly, with his daughter with him. And those types of situations are always just kind of a shock to the system because they're just so sudden and unexpected. And it's the unexpected and the unknown that we do not do well with.
No. And my goodness, we definitely don't do well with death in America.
No. We don't know how to talk about it.
Yeah.
We're not good at it.
You know, I mean, honestly, the best people in America at talking about death is probably Pixar. You know what I mean? Like, think about it. Like, you have, like, Pixar or Disney, like, that kind of stuff where you have these cartoons. Mm-hmm. And you have, like, this character die that you love. Those are the best introductions to death we have as children. And then we shove death away the rest of our lives because we're so afraid of it. You know? You're like, oh, I'm so sad. Mufasa died. Or you're like, oh, gosh. Like,
The movie Up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gut-wrenching. Great movie. Gut-wrenching, right? But the whole time is about, the entire movie is Up. It's about accepting death and still understanding that you can have a great life.
Yeah.
So, everyone, go watch Up. And you know it's sad.
There you go.
That's our big review today.
That's never a bad idea, watching Up.
Yeah, so, I mean, wherever you are.
I have just met you and I love you. Doug the dog.
So
great.
Wherever you guys are, whenever you're listening to this, I hope that you can use this time to really reflect on your life. And just, I hope that you can have a positive impact on others.
Yeah.
That you can have peace and joy in your life, and that you have people you love.
And learn how to wait and realize that it's okay to wait for things. And it's actually good for us to learn to wait for things and to put ourselves in a proper place. And that is not at the head all the time. I think one of the biggest things that we are lacking in our society is the concept of others, that there are other people. And sometimes we need to be reminded that it's not all about us. It doesn't matter how powerful or rich or anything. It's not all about us. No matter how high or how low you are on the quote-unquote social hierarchy, it's not all about you. I think it's hard for us to remember that, but it would be a good lesson if we could learn to take that all in just a little bit more.
Yep. And with that,
we'll end this serious between episodes.
Yeah.
PSA is from Jeremy and Jason.
Yep. All right. As always, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Jason. We got you back. All right. If you want to get in touch with us, there are a number of ways you can do it. You can hit us up on Twitter @the_PGPod. It's our new Twitter account. On Instagram @ParentalGuidancePodcast. All together, lowercase, no spaces or anything like that. Or you can email us at pgpconnection@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you and to many more episodes. Remember, we got you back. The Parental Guidance Podcast is a creation of Silver Badger Productions. If you would like more information, go to www.silverbadgerproductions.com or on Twitter @SilverBadgerPro.